I mean, he had the same chance six times. The same fucking chance. You think just even by a fluke, he would hit the ball better this time? He hit it fucking terribly every time from the same fucking angle.
Hi guys, Jack Grealish here. Delighted to say that I've signed a new deal with Aston Villa. That morning sky gave me a look. So I left while you were sleeping. That's all it took.
If you were Sean Dyche tonight, would you really feel comfortable accepting a point from that disgraceful display? What a pointless nothing team. Really, like, what is the point of that Burnley side? Just a waste of everybody's time, and it's not. I don't even want extra points for Villa. They didn't deserve them. They couldn't score. They couldn't hit a barn door. I just don't think Burnley deserve a point for that absolute tripe that they served up. So there we have it, another home game, another few points dropped, another shit team coming to Villa Park and getting away with something. Villa actually played well today, so it's hard to be too down on them, but like the reality is, Liam, and I'm not even... There's a couple of good stats, a couple of good positive things, like for example, they've got 6 clean sheets now this season. They only got 7 last year, so there's a marked improvement there. They missed a lot of chances, you know, a lot of chances, so in an other day, they might have won that game, but I'm looking at that thinking, no, they wouldn't have. On an other day, every single one of those players would have kept missing those chances because they're all shite.
Welcome to the podcast. Yeah, I mean, a manager can't score. His job is really to get his players into positions where they can score, stop the opposition from getting into positions, even, you know, motivating the players so that they can carry out the instructions that he's given them to try and get into those positions, giving them the confidence to carry out those instructions. And Dean Smith does all that really well, or most of it anyway. But he's just got such a personnel problem. But during that whole game, I was just thinking about Dean Smith and thinking about how well Villa were playing and thinking about, and you touched on it there, what gets Sean Dyche out of bed in the morning? Like, how does he do it? I know he's got resource constraints and Burnley are a tiny club with a few Villa rejects knocking around and stuff, but how does he do it? Like, going in every morning, the training, going to matches, just asking a load of professional footballers, like, you know, can you be disciplined? Can you run a bit harder than you're currently running? Like, why has he chosen a career in football? He doesn't like it. He has no interest in the sport at all. It's such a bizarre career choice for him.
Well, if this was a different industry, he would have moved on. Now he's taken Burnley way past where they can go. They're not going to go any further. This is how bad lockdown got in 2020. Like, I ended up listening to an hour long Sean Dyche podcast where he was being interviewed, and yeah, in a way I gained a bit of respect for him because he was talking about the financial constraints and he was explaining, I think one of the questions put to him was like, you know, you don't like foreign players. You know, you think players can't cut it outside the Premier League, or they won't cut it in the Premier League when they come in. And he was just explaining it very logically that, like, you know, I have a very small budget. I can't afford to waste that money on players. Like, so when I'm buying a player, I need to be able to speak to all their coaches that I know, or I need to be able to speak to their school and build up as much information as I can about them and know how much I can improve them when they come there. But he doesn't even improve them. He just gets reliable players to do a reliable job, and it's just a pointless existence. Like, no. This is why everybody was so excited that Leeds and Villa got back to the Premier League. Because Burnley are just, they're not even stinking the place up. They're just there taking up space. It's a waste of time.
It's a waste of time, and it's just made all the worse because he's in such a privileged position. Imagine how exciting a job that would be. Imagine coming home and saying to your partner, I got a new job. I'm a football manager. And then going out and doing that with it. What a waste of time. Yeah. Just like send it out of team and just relying on luck. It's fucking bizarre.
Yeah, he would actually he would sound like a great eligible bachelor if he was on a date with somebody for the first time, telling her that he's a Premier League manager. You know, that sounds amazing. And then she goes home to watch it and it's like, yeah. What? Yeah. I thought you had a cool job. Like, what? What? Oh, you were managing that team. I thought you were just watching them doing nothing.
Yeah, it's so grim. So fucking grim.
And then on what planet is there 2 minutes of stoppage time in that match? For Christ's sake, what did they say? It was 26 efforts from Villa. Most of them went wide. You know, there was a lot of injuries, a lot of arguments. Craig Pawson blows it up 20 seconds over the 2 minutes, even though there's stoppage time in those 2 minutes. And there's a sub made, which is another 30 seconds added on. He just followed along into one of those narratives where the referee now has to help the underdog gain their point. And the ball's too far around the pitch, so we just won't play the full extra, whatever it was, 20, 30 seconds. But it's the principle of the thing. Let them try and get the ball back up the pitch. It's not up to you to blow it because it's out of danger now. And by the way, he blew it up at half time when there was a corner kick for Villa.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about referees with headmaster syndrome before. Craig Pawson has got best mate syndrome. He is such a fucking loser. The amount of late tackles, studs up, you know, just argy bargy. Look, Nakamba couldn't buy a yellow card tonight. He must have committed about five fouls in the first half, and they were all so blatant, so late, so lazy. Just like, you know, any one of them could have been a yellow card.
Yeah.
Ben Mee? What did Ben Mee have to do to get booked tonight? Jesus Christ. Craig Pawson's just a loser. He just, like, you know, wants to be everybody's mate. Let's just all get along, guys. We'll get through this 92 minutes, even though it should be 94.
I actually wanted to talk about that Ben Mee tackle. That, like, obviously it was the most clear-cut yellow card you've ever seen. Like, Grealish actually gotten past him almost for a goal chance, so good. Like, it's above a yellow card. It is a yellow card, but, you know, that's the very basement of it. But, like, he couldn't have looked less like a footballer. He looked like one of those boys, you know, when you're playing at lunchtime in school and somebody's there just making up the number. There's like PE and somebody there who didn't bring their gear, but the teacher's making him train anyway or play anyway. And he's a bit of a dark horse. He just, like, he's rough and he gets stuck in. He's brave, but he's no interest in football. And he just lounges a leg at him. Like, he's completely planted. It's like he's never had to tackle anybody before in his life. I really don't understand. Matt Target had something similar as well. But, like, you know, we know there's different reasons for that. Ben May just stuck out the straightest leg and almost got out of Grealish's way just so he could trip him. It was bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't normally have to tackle because there's normally eight really disciplined Burnley players standing in the box in front of him. I actually thought he looked like just an older lad who was walking through the school playground and just for the laugh just tripped some lad who was running past him. He had no interest in playing football. Yeah, Ben Mee did very well to stay on that pitch tonight.
What the fuck is Lowton doing standing on his own line during open play? Like, if anything sums up that terrible, disgusting Burnley side, that is it. Like, this was open play. It was a cross from the wing. And I think it's deflected off Watkins. It's come down. And I think El Mohamedy's tried to volley it. Deflected off Watkins. And there's Lowton on his own goal line just helping out the keeper. Like, is he permanently just stationed there because... Yeah, as you said, he's got eight other players he could fill in at fullback. He doesn't need to be out there.
Oh, it was fucking so annoying as well. Jumped in the air thinking it was in, and that fucking numpties just wandered back behind his goalkeeper when the ball is just on the edge of the box. Where are you going? Jack Grealish is just standing free out there. Go mark him, maybe.
And I've got, you know, there's a tale of... misfortune as well, but not like for the most part, it was just terrible play from Villa. And if they got those chances again, the same boys would probably keep missing them. But the Nick Pope save on El Ghazi was one of the best saves I've seen this season. For the free kick when he tipped it onto the crossbar, it's like, fuck, like, as much as Matt Lowton's thing was like, you know, how desperate are you? Like, you know, the Nick Pope thing was just one of those ones that sucks the life out of you. It's like, just piss off, will you?
Yeah, no, it was an absolutely amazing save. De Gea made a very famous, very similar one against Mata a few years ago. I don't think this one will be replayed ever again, but, you know, it was a brilliant, brilliant save.
All right, I'm flying through the top of the show because I have a lot of WhatsApp whinges tonight, so let's get into it. There you go. I called him Trampoline Traore for a reason, and you didn't listen to me. Oh, we started.
That just didn't sound like an end of a sentence.
I called him it last week because if he's touched everything, was just bouncing off him. And there he is at the back post. The ball, like, everything's opened up. The ball's come straight through for him. And his touch takes it up to his hips. And by the time it comes back down to him, there's three Burnley players sliding across their goal line.
Yeah, it wasn't the only time that night where he just, like, that was there to be hit on the half volley. With his right foot, and if you've got a weak bad foot, half volley is exactly what you want. Just have a lash at it. You know, the ground takes a lot of the focus off the ball for you. So all you have to do is hit through the middle of the ball. But he obviously just does not fancy his right foot because he was just refusing that all night. And like I've mentioned before, that you can't play inverted wingers unless you have very good fullbacks, especially if one of them can't even run. But like, you know, if both of your wingers are so one-footed, it really limits your options and makes you so unbelievably predictable. There was two or three chances that Traore and El Ghazi just lost. Like, you know, just chance just wasn't there anymore because they just didn't fancy it on their left or right foot. It was fucking pathetic, and that one was so fucking irritating. I actually thought the one that he came on there from the right wing and just took an unbelievably heavy touch was more annoying. He just took a really heavy touch and he ended up in the like on the penalty spot and then just hit a shit shot. Like even after that terrible touch.
Oh yes, yeah. I mean, he took the heavy touch into two players and blasted it off them.
Yeah, exactly. But even after he took it, he still had time to react. He still could have like those two players dived to the ground. But like he still could have done something else instead of booting it off them when they're lying there.
So this actually brings me on to my other question about him. And like I'm being serious. Does he understand the objective of football matches? Like, I think he just loves playing with the ball and being challenged by people. And he loves getting stuck in. But I don't... It's either he doesn't care or he doesn't know about the overall idea of trying to score.
Yeah, there are some players who really just like looking good. And... Do you remember Ronaldo came to United at first? He was just such a show pony.
Yeah.
Like, and somebody obviously got in his ear and said, listen, mate, all anybody is going to care about is your output.
Yeah.
And he just turned into a goal machine. And some players just get that. And some, like, no one's obviously said it to Traore yet because he's still just flouncing around and he looks nice. He seems dangerous. He tries a lot. He tracks back. Like, you know, unbelievable run back for one of the... We'll talk about that, I'm sure.
That was the one the target got rinsed for, the same as Ben May.
Yeah, it was fucking pathetic. Apology of a tackle from target.
Apology of a run? He can't run. We're not going to give him the target tonight. But, yeah, like, you could see him, trick, you know, just the idea of him having to run 40 metres with the ball. Like, the ball's, like, ahead of him, so he's fine. Like, he's between the ball and the goals. But he's still shitting himself, and he's running with, like, lead on his feet. Anyway, go back to Traore.
Yeah, like, so it's, it's annoying, but like, I definitely think there's a player in there because he's got bags of talent. It just, I don't know how to get it out of him.
I don't know, like, I think me and you've had this conversation a lot, like, where I would say to you that there's players who are better than me and I'm playing ahead of them, but it's like, if some people just don't have it upstairs, like, you know, they might be technically better and physically better, but if they just don't know what they're doing or they don't do the right thing over and over, then they're not that good. You know, they've got some tools to be good, but your head is a really important tool, one of the most important. And yeah, like, even like you're talking about an inverted winger, like the one that Grealish laid on for him, like that couldn't have been more perfect for a left footer just to curl that round the keeper, and he just hits it with his right foot across the goals. It was unbelievable.
I think his head was scrambled at that stage. So, like, you know, he was out in his feet. He was taken off soon after that. And why he's trying to cross that, I don't know. He thought it was the clever thing to do. He thought it was the right play. Look, I've said this loads of times before, it was terrible execution. I didn't really think there was much problem with him trying to play that into a centre forward. He wasn't at a great angle. He should have had a lash at it once we've seen that he plays a terrible cross. But look, wasn't a great night. I'm not giving up on him yet.
I have this one down and I had a look actually what I was talking about. So I have written, that is the worst yellow card I've ever seen. And it was the one where Watkins came running back onto the pitch. And the ref gave him a yellow card. Like, the play stopped. He didn't get an advantage. He didn't, you know, it was so bizarre. He was bleeding. He didn't realise. So he had to go back and get treatment. And when you look at the stuff, like we talk about Ben May getting away with things. And, you know, it was just so unnecessary giving him a yellow card for it.
Yeah, I mean, nobody else could get booked in that game except for somebody for running onto a pitch with a bloody nose. It was pathetic performance from Craig Pawson.
Like, Grealish had a big tackle on Lowton very early on and gave a free because it was like a tough tackle. Like, that was it. Like, it was a clean tackle. Grealish poked it away as he was sliding and he gave a free for it because obviously when you land on your arse, your heel hits the ground so your studs are showing. It was one of those ones where I was like, if that's a free, I give up a football. That's not the game that I love. Let them play.
It's definitely not the game that you play anyway, Conor, because you're all about the studs up.
Yeah. And then there was just a lot of talk about the Brady standing on the camber. Like, actually, you know, VAR did exactly what you want there. VAR checked it, and within 5 seconds, they said it's fine. And the commentators went on about it for another 2.5-3 minutes, and it's like, this is a perfect example now of, you know, people making a thing out of VAR when there's not a thing there to be had about it. So it's like, VAR just did his job there. Just an extra pair of eyes. He might have missed a stump. No, he was just going for the ball, and it was unfortunate that it clipped, it landed on his heels. That's it. And then they just kept talking about, like, oh, everybody wants to check everything nowadays and stuff. It's like, no, they looked at it and said it was fine. Move on. You don't need to keep crying about it.
Well, this is the thing. People love complaining. This is what people forget. VAR is just the thing that they're complaining about now. Before that, it used to be the fact that we didn't have any technology in the game.
Yeah, that's true. I've got a third one here. I think I've got six altogether. Tarkowski isn't that fucking good, lads.
Yeah, he's not. I think Villa showed a bit too much respect in the first half, I think, for a lot of the Burnley players, and they just couldn't figure it out. A lot of the times you just have to run at them because they're shit, and Tarkowski's one of them. It's unbelievable how highly rated he is for somebody who's just, he's absolutely bang average. And as all the Burnley players are, I mean, how many chances did Villa create tonight just from pressure?
Yep.
It's never a bad idea to close down a Burnley player because they'll fucking lose the ball. And Tarkowski's just one of them. Like, as soon as somebody started pressurizing them, they were scrambling everywhere, just getting rid of the ball. They were pathetic.
They really were. Like, actually, this could be married to another one I have here. It's like, what's with all the respect for Loughton? Like, Loughton's right back. Get Grealish on the left. Go at him, for fuck's sake. One time Grealish went at him, he left him on his arse. He left. Eventually left Tarkowski on his backside later on. But there was, even Grealish, there was just too much, yeah, as you say, respect, almost fear. It's like, oh, here comes big tough Tarkowski. Turn around and put him on his arse. Like, but, like, yeah, it's a good point that you're making there about... So this is what I'm saying about Villa playing well. They won a lot of ball back. Like, you know, it was really heartening. They just kept turning the ball over and coming back at them. They won all the second balls. But in hindsight, you're looking at it going, what is Sean Dyche doing? How can he not see that Westwood and Brownhill are completely drowning in that midfield? You know, they're on their own. Does Villa have an extra body in there? Grealish is coming out making another one, or Traore. And yeah, they're just nicking every single breaking ball, every single second ball, and they're just overrunning them every time. Meanwhile, he makes a sub and he puts on Ashley Barnes up top, and he's just got the two lads up top, and they're doing nothing. Like, Barnes came on, he first touch, he chested it, and then he overheaded it straight to Martinez, like one of those big hooks. You know, like, not even the two men up front, but, like, it wasn't even worth sacrificing your midfield because they were giving you something. They were giving you nothing as well, and
Conan couldn't react.
All he did was hope.
Sean Dyche doesn't care that his midfield's giving him nothing.
Yeah.
It is irrelevant to him. But that's why he picks Ashley Westwood, because Ashley Westwood does what he's told. Same as Brownhill. Like, he does not care that his midfielders can't play football. That is utterly irrelevant.
Yeah.
What he needs them to do is to get back and to try really hard. And Ashley Westwood can float balls into his battering rams up top.
Like, yeah, and I know a lot of managers, we've seen a lot of them in Ireland, that they have that same policy. When somebody does what they're told, it doesn't matter what they're not bringing you, it's like, he'll stand in a position I want them to stand in, so that's good. But those boys standing in whatever position he wanted them to stand in did nothing. Villa just kept creating chance after chance. If it was like the Wolves game last year where Villa couldn't get through, that would be like understandable. It's like, all right, well, he's got a system there that Villa aren't getting through. It was just a system of pure luck. Like, you know, you could tell they played Arsenal in the last game because they got an easy ride, but they came up against a team who can create chances, and they just conceded more chances than they probably ever will the rest of the season.
Yeah, it was so annoying. Like, the commentator was talking about their last, that, you know, if you had offered them 4 points before the last two games, they definitely would have bitten your hand off. And he's got two clean sheets as well, so it's a great two games for Sean Dyche. He didn't get a clean sheet tonight. Just something that happened. Irrelevant was the fact that Sean Dyche was manager there. Like, that just happened to him.
Second last one. It's time for El Mahamedy to grow the fuck up.
Elmo was very timid tonight, wasn't he?
You know that I love Elmo. But I'm watching that, and you have Matty Cash played all the Premier League games so far, and it's like, Elmo, you're not playing for Hull City anymore. Steve Bruce isn't your manager anymore. Hitting the ball first time, like Jordan Henderson does, like, it isn't going to cut it every single time. I know you've got a good cross on you, but will you just check for something else? Just whipping the ball constantly into the back post, where most of the time nobody was just pissing me off.
Yeah, check for something else, or at the very least, check who's in the box and where they are in that box. Yeah. he didn't even get forward that often either. It was like Dean Smith was just, that's fine. Like, you know, the six lads up top will create enough chances. I don't need to bother risking getting hit in the counterattack against these fucking duds. I'll just let the other six work it out. I don't need to send my fullbacks forward.
El Ghazi genuinely thinks that just feeling lucky is enough. I actually got excited in the first half. I've never seen not a decline, but a decline in self-belief like it. Like, how quickly and how steeply that curve went down was incredible. It was like a part of me during the first half, even though I missed a couple of chances, I was like, oh, I like Peacock and El Ghazi. I can get on board with an El Ghazi with his chest puffed out. Obviously, he was feeling good from his 94th minute winner and all the love that he was getting ever since. And he just seemed to think that that would take care of everything. You know, it's like, well, like, this story has already been written now. This is my big comeback. And it's like, El Ghazi, you still have to be able to control the football. You still have to be able to make a right decision. And unfortunately, he started realizing that as well. But he tried harder. And, you know, as he was trying harder, his self-belief was going down and down. And it was just the El Ghazi that got so much criticism that was coming back. God love him.
Yeah, me and you have had a lot of arguments about El Ghazi over the years. Well, up until about a year ago, whenever I just grudgingly accepted that you were right. the Peacock in El Ghazi was what I always saw. And as I've said about Troy the last 2 weeks, that's what I like in my wingers. I want them to be trying things. I want them to be, you know, looking dangerous, putting the other team under pressure, making the fullback's head go all over the place. That's what you want, but you also want them to fucking hit the target. I mean, he had the same chance six times. The same fucking chance. You think just even by a fluke, he would hit the ball better this time? He hit it fucking terribly every time from the same fucking angle.
Yeah, and a lot of the time, like, Grealish had given it to him, and I was wondering, like, is he ever going to get fed up giving it to him, or is Ghazi ever going to think about giving it back to him? It got to a stage where players were just... There was no point in sort of going along with him because you knew he was just going to try and hit it. After the free kick, he just went to flick the switch, and he brought back the Elmo from this year and just started, like, blazing things or under hitting things. There was no in between.
Yeah, it was so. There was one that looked quite good. It was, I think it was the one where he was coming more through the middle and he whipped it, but he hit it far too early. It's so much time there. And, like, the defenders had sold themselves. They'd followed Grealish because they realised El Ghazi was on the ball. So we'll go out after this lad. And he just spanked it from about 25 yards when he had another good 5 yards to close off there. But, just bad decision-making, terrible execution. Exactly the two things that you don't want from a professional footballer.
And that wraps up WhatsApp Whinges. We get into some categories here.
I burst onto the scene, didn't I? And I was going to be the next best thing.
Oh, who was it that said? There was an interview with somebody recently and they said that he's always positive. It was Micah Richards.
Hold on, I played for England at 18, youngest ever defender to play for England.
It was Micah Richards, he was talking on Sky Sports and he said he's always positive. Sometimes you wish he wasn't as positive. Like, he almost said it was too nice.
Right.
What do you think of that?
I think Micah Richards should shut the fuck up.
Wow.
What the fuck has Micah Richards ever done for Aston Villa? Dean Smith got Aston Villa promoted from 14th in the championship. Micah Richards was just there collecting 40 grand a week while that was all happening.
He's just brilliant. He's just top. What a guy to work with you are, honestly.
Do you let Glenn Whelan take a 90th minute penalty award? Not taking El Ghazi off.
Huh. Who are you bringing on for El Ghazi?
Anybody.
come on. Villa were creating loads of chances. And
Liam, I'm ready for this.
Part of that was El Ghazi. A large part of that was El Ghazi.
Yeah. But he kept fucking missing them. Like, he missed chance after chance after chance. And it was like, after seven missed chances, you know he's not going to score. So there's no point in El Ghazi getting those chances. Like, he's just somebody who is stopping you scoring those chances because they're going to him.
Yeah.
Get him out of there. Get Watkins over there. And like that's what they did in the end. But like, I kept thinking, if one of those chances fall to Watkins, he'll probably score. But it kept coming to El Ghazi, and like, he wasn't creating them half the time. Grealish was just either rolling it to him or rolling it to Traore, and both of them were lining up to fucking do their worst.
Yeah, but he's creating it with his movement, he's creating it with his runs. Like, El Ghazi was so important to how Aston Villa were playing, and how Aston Villa were playing was working, and he couldn't take off El Ghazi for his only other forward, Davis, because he had to take off Traore, and he knew he was going to have to take off Traore.
So the only other nomination I had in this category was not taking Traore off earlier.
Yeah, like, and that was definitely something that could have been looked at. I mean, Villa could have brought on Keenan Davis for Nakamba. Like, you know, Burnley weren't going to do anything. I thought, I understand you definitely do not want to get caught out against these absolutely useless bastards, because how much of a kick in the teeth would that have been? But yeah. Nakamba wasn't helping Villa keep a clean sheet tonight. Sean Dyche was.
But that's it. Like, you know, when they threw Keenan Davis up top, you're like, you know, what's he going to bring at the minute, having not played football since September? But you realize that Watkins was sort of out of the way when he was up top. So all he needed was that extra body just to keep the two centre-backs honest. So that could have been anybody. And then, like, I was just fed up seeing chances falling to El Ghazi, because you're right. Like, and I know when I saw, like, after 70 minutes, I think the shot went up to Terry and Smith and Shakespeare. You know, when they're just chatting, they look a bit annoyed they haven't scored, but they look very calm in that, like, you know, what else can you do? Like, we're creating more chances than we will in any other game. But I was thinking, like, again, these chances are not going to be scored at any stage if they keep coming to El Ghazi. So there is a, like, I know what you mean. He's helping create these chances, but he's not going to score them. So there's no point in creating the chances.
I mean, the chances weren't falling to El Ghazi. El Ghazi was making them happen. But I definitely think it was strange that Villa had 27 shots and Ollie Watkins maybe had two. That is something that they could have looked at on the bench. They could have put Grealish out to left wing earlier, maybe tried Traore back in the middle and El Ghazi out the other side, and tried to get more balls into Watkins. Taking El Ghazi off wasn't the answer, though. It was changing slightly how they were playing. But it's so difficult to do that whenever what you're doing is working. And like I said, manager's job is to get you in the position to create chances.
So I did want to talk about that Watkins stat. I know it's an unverified one, but like, a manager's job is also to get the chances ideally to his best goal scorer. And get the ball to his best player, like Grealish, you know, like we talk about that. At what stage does it have to be some sort of intervention to, like, you know, we need to get Watkins these chances instead? You know, just in general, like, I mean this in a more macro level now as well, like, because the chances are Villa's play isn't being designed around Ollie Watkins finishing it off. And that's starting to really, it's coming through more and more in every podcast, but it's starting to really grind my gears now.
Yeah, well, tonight, I don't think it was that really was an option, because Burnley really strangled the middle of the defence. You know, so the space is coming in then from the wings. Loughton was playing at the corner of his own box. You know, there's very little room for Watkins there. So he did a really good job of clearing out space. I definitely something should have happened tonight where they should have tried to think of other ways around it. In general, I don't know. Watkins gets a lot of chances, and Watkins, his numbers aren't being pat. I think Watkins is brilliant, but his numbers are being padded slightly by the Liverpool game. I mean, he scored those goals in a brilliant win, but Nick, you know, he hasn't always looked a threat in every game. He's a little bit patchy at the minute.
Yeah, but this is what I mean. I don't think he is patchy. Like, I think he's looked consistent in every game, but he's just been given less chances and less good balls in every game, if you know what I mean. Like, I'm fully aware as well that his goals, like, it's a good stat that he got 6 goals in the Premier League, but they've come in 3 games, and one of them was a penalty in a game that was done. Do you know, like, I'm more concerned that Villa aren't, again, they're just not making him the fulcrum, because I think if they did, he would get more joy.
Yeah, it is surprising. But remember as well, so much of the game plan is built around getting space for Jack Grealish. So yeah. Watkins has to pull people out of position. That means he has to leave the position. Whenever Barkley is there as well, that helps Watkins an awful lot, because it gives the two centre-halves something else to think about. 6'2" Ross Barkley just coming steaming through the middle, gets centre-half thinking, and then it gets Ollie Watkins more space. So that element of the game has been missing, because, you know, try as they might, Bertrand Traoré is not Ross Barkley.
No, Jesus, I really hope Ross Barkley comes back for Sunday now. If he was playing tonight, Villa win that 2-0. At least.
Yeah, I'd say you're probably right.
At least. I say Westwood, he was playing a award, only one nomination. I say Westwood.
Was he playing tonight?
The Ronnie Rosenthal Award. So we mentioned Traore's bad touch at the back post. Traore trying to give that shot across goal, trying to give that pass across goal when he should just be shooting. El Ghazi, like, which one you're asking? The one where Grealish gave it to him, and he got time for a touch, and he does take a touch, and he's got time for another 2 touches if he wants. He can take it further in. He's got an amazing angle on the left hand side, and he just rolls it at the keeper. It was just, like, you would actually rather see a blaze over the bar in that instance. Like, you know, just a tame shot like that is not acceptable in that position that he was in.
It's such a common shot as well, though, where you're so focused on getting your foot around the ball. You get your entire foot around the ball, and you essentially hit it with your heel. Fucking pathetic. It happens so often, though.
This is why, Liam, and you told me before during the game, they stop hitting the post. But this is why I love that near post. Oh, like, Son did it yesterday against Liverpool. Just open your body up and drill it in that near post. Works every time.
Yeah. Anwar El Ghazi is not Son Heung-min.
Tyrone Mings for that header. Like, you know, at the time, I didn't really think much of it. And then I looked at the replay and it's like, for fuck's sake, like, you're 11 yards out. Free header. Nice cross. You can get power onto it. And he's just tried too much to put it into the corner.
Yeah, I thought that was the most annoying miss. It was like, because he tried to put too much power on it. He got so fucking little power on it in the end, and he puts it wide. It was fucking pathetic. Get that on target and it's a goal.
Yeah. Courtney House, I don't think he's ever hit a ball on target. And this was the closest he got. Like, it was good because for a while I was wondering, does he understand? Many times we watch him, just every good Conor Hourihan cross that was coming into the box, Howes was redding it out and clearing it for the opposition team and hitting out for a goal kick or a throw-in. this time, at least, he hit the post. But it's like, what are you doing? Like, you know, I know somebody else might say, oh, like, he's taking it a flick. It hasn't. He knows the ball's coming into the box, and he's actually gotten into that position now because it has taken a deflection, and he just lets it hit off his head. Like, he's in the middle. He's not in the middle of the goals, but it's just gone out wide. Like, even if it does hit him surprisingly, it still should just be going on target.
Initially, I thought he did really well to react to it, but then when I saw it back, it's just a flick on at the near post. He's not reacting well to it. It's just something that's happening in the box. And you see that he does react to it. So once he does, get it on fucking target, man.
That's not what Courtney House does. Hope Konza's back as well, just for that goal threat even for Sunday. He was sick tonight. And the last one, Jack Grealish at the end. Like, that's, again, probably just disappointing because of the optics of it, but he's done everything right yet again, probably taking an extra second out of it again. and then just ballooned it over the bar when he was just in a position to score. He needs to be scoring there.
He does need to be scoring there. That's what we have Jack Grealish for. You know, that's what makes Villa better than the other teams who have similar players across the squad. Villa have Jack Grealish, and he, like, we need Jack Grealish to be scoring there. Like, he's good. What's the point of skinning two players and getting into the box if you're just going to lean back and hook one over the bar?
Like, what's the point of you giving all your chances away to El Ghazi and fucking Traore all night when you get a chance and you're going to miss as well? Like, you know, that should have been him saying, all right, finally, I'm in a position and I'm going to score. But no, I'd rather see El Ghazi. No, I wouldn't, but just not good enough. I don't say that often about Jack Grealish. Expect more. Who do you have? I say El Ghazi's chance. It was just too much time, too good an angle, and too shit a shot.
And $7 ciders for it.
Do you agree?
Yeah, El Ghazi, absolutely.
The Peter Enkelman What the Fuck Award. So, like, you know, not a lot of options because Villa weren't under any pressure. But Nakamba's tackle on McNeil in the first half was just unforgivable. That's one of those ones, like, we've complained about Douglas Luiz before, giving a free away in that position, just in the centre of the goals, 22 metres out. But McNeil's going away from the posts, and he's under pressure. There's another defender there. All right, it might be Matt Target. But Nakamba's just clipped his heels for no reason. Like, Nakamba is actually running around to the other side of him as well. So there's going to be two players right beside McNeil, between him and Martinez, and he's just giving a free kick away for nothing. Yeah. I mean, nothing came of it. Martinez just caught it, you know, where an hour keeper might have tipped it out for a corner. But yeah, just like, what are you doing, man?
Yeah, really, really frustrating. Their tone was set, I think it was in 92nd mark, where Villa had Burnley penned in, and at the time I didn't know this was going to be the pattern of the game, so I was a lot more annoyed about it. The ball's coming to, I don't even know who it was. It was Westwood at the edge of his own box, facing his own box, ball at head height. Nakamba just runs in and pushes him in the back. What are you doing? We've got them exactly where we want them. Westwood's about to try to control a ball. Let him have it at the edge of his own box.
Yeah.
Just run in and push him. And he did it so often throughout the game with just pointless, silly fouls that just really either slow down any sort of momentum Villa had, like in that instance, or just gave Burnley what they wanted, a bit of fucking oxygen to lump a shit ball into two other shit centre forwards.
And take 5 minutes out of it while they walk up and get Ben. Like, that's so sad, you know, when Burnley get a free kick around, you know, midfield in the centre circle, and then you see Tarkowski and May walking into the box. It's like, lads, what are you doing?
Yeah, this is our best chance at a half.
Yeah, reminds me of Tony Pulis, but at least they genuinely always created chances from those set pieces. Only other nomination I have now, Martinez's bad clearance could come in here, but I don't want to put it in there because Martinez is really good again.
Or Nakamba's bad touch from that clearance. Yeah. Bounced off him.
Bounced off him with 10 metres in front of him.
Unbelievable. Just take it in your chest. Your goalkeeper's fucked up. Get him out of jail.
Yeah. I'm not even doing a Vimy meter tonight, but Martinez was going up on it as well because that's what he does. The John McGinn moment where he's trying to do keepy uppies in his own box and then Ben May just volleys it off him. Martinez saves it. And it's like, what? Like, just clear it. Like, what are you doing? And then he was standing there with his hands out thinking, you know, I don't know who he was complaining to in that situation.
John McGinn had another shit game tonight. And I went easy on him last week because he won the penalty, but he was fucking dreadful tonight. John McGinn needs to get over his own arse.
I wonder, can you just not see past his arse now?
No.
Because I thought he was decent.
That's all he's trying to do. Every time the ball comes in to John, like, he manufactures that. He waits for a player to come just so he can put his arse into him.
Yeah. He never used to manufacture it. It used to just be a great weapon in his arsenal that he had when he needed it.
And I think that's gotten into his head. He's constantly trying to do it, and people are obviously wise to it. This happens all the time whenever someone does the same fucking thing over and over again. Like El Ghazi cutting inside from the left wing onto his right foot. People know exactly what you're going to do, so they're ready for it. And he got caught out a lot with it tonight. I think he's forgotten how to use his fucking feet. He's relying so much on his arse.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I think you're right. He did get caught out of it, but the times, and this is the great thing, but the times he did get caught out of it, he was able to recover a lot of those situations. And I don't know. I just thought he was a bit more like a dog of a bone a little bit, and just, you know, he was one of the ones that kept nicking in with the ball as well, and just getting the momentum going in Villa's direction. He didn't really offer much in an attacking sense, but I was happy enough.
But that's the minimum I want from him. That's what I want from Nakamba. I don't want John McGinn is playing centre midfield for us. Like, I don't want him to be just using his arse and then trying hard. That's not the two things I want from a centre midfielder. Like, you know, going through the checklist. Well, did he use his arse tonight? He did. All right. And did he try hard? He did, of course. Yeah, okay, good. Give him his wages this week. Fuck off. Play a bit of fucking football.
Yeah, we'll give the Peter Enkelman Award to Nakamba for anything, for the tackle on McNeil or for the push on Westwood. Questions we can't answer, but probably will. We sort of touched on this, but at what point does Ollie Watkins grow a set of balls and knock on Dean Smith's door and ask, what is happening? Start playing me the ball.
Well, I think he should have been asking questions around the 60th minute mark tonight, and then he should continue those, because Sam Allardyce's West Brom, it could end up being a very fucking similar game. So Villa are going to have to think about how they approach that, and it's not going to be via those two headless inverted wingers.
Does Sam Allardyce have enough time to... It does. I was actually trying to count this, how many sessions he'd have, and I was like, you know, four sessions would be enough to be like, you stand here, you stand here, you stand here, you don't move. You know, and like that'll work. You know, it's going to be a dogged match.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Sam Allardyce is going to do. Like most managers, that's the first thing they do, because it's the easiest thing to do, to get people to run, to get people to buy into it. People are a lot more willing to, you know, try something for a new person. But that voice will become very tired very quickly. And this is a question that I can't answer, Conan. How has Sean Dyche lasted so long in his job?
Because it's Burnley. Because they're probably making profit now because of the...
I don't mean from the chairman. I mean, how are the players still doing what he's asking? Because he's asking them to do the same thing over and over again. He's the third longest serving manager in the top five divisions in England.
Do you know why? Because the same way Sean Dyche is managing a Premier League team, a lot of these players are playing in a Premier League team. Like, where else would they fucking go? Like, Ashley Westwood and Matt Luton were hounded out of Villa and are the heroes at Burnley. Like, where would Ashley Barnes go? where would Ben May go? They're never getting into the Premier League again.
Sam Allardyce is West Brom.
So, yeah, until they get relegated and then get promoted again. And get, like, you know, Doug, I don't know what's up that I sent you. Like, it's time that we stop promoting West Brom. They've had enough chances to stink out the Premier League every time. And that was before they appointed Sam Allardyce. But, it's a good question. Like, what's the life cycle for Sean Dyche as a manager before all the players get so bored? Like, the only good piece of analysis that Michael Owen ever provided was about his time at Stoke, when he said that Tony Pulis finished him off. That's when he decided to retire, because it was the same mind-numbing thing over and over in training. He said, if you weren't in the starting 11, you were just a statue. You were standing in places that he wanted you to be in so he could practice set pieces for the starting 11. And obviously, Michael Owen doesn't want to be doing that for the rest of his life, and he retired from football rather than play under Tony Pulis.
That is fucking so depressing. But Sean Dyche has been there for 8 years, and there's players who've been there a long time as well, and they're still listening, they're still running as hard as they can. But, and some of them, I take the point that a lot of them are shit, but you know, McNeil and Brady aren't shit footballers. Tarkowski isn't shit. I gave him a bit of a trim in there earlier on, but he's not shit. Ben Mee is fine. They've played for England, you know, and they are still running around like dogs.
Yeah, so like, you're wondering like how many years now until people stop listening to that shit and that same old tired run. And actually, another thing that Sean Dyche did say in that podcast that I'm talking about was that he's very aware of how negative he sounds, just his voice. So he tries to, I think his rule of thumb was to try to give them, like, talk, say something positive seven times for every one negative thing. because he doesn't want a negative culture going around because of the sound of his voice.
Fucking hell.
So maybe he's just genuinely good crack around the place.
Let's stop talking about Sean Dyche and losing the world a bit.
And you know what? We'll have to do it one more time this season, and then we'll have to do it an hour twice next season, as long as Villa don't get fucking relegated. At what point does Jack Grealish decide, I'm not rolling it to Traore or Gazi again?
In the last fucking minute, so he can blaze it over the bar himself.
But really, like, you see, you saw him getting annoyed at Target again, just, you know, like, my Target. Like, he just, he kicks a lot of balls out of play.
He kicked the ball out of play twice in the first 15 minutes.
I know, and Grealish went mad at him one time for that, and it's usually just because he's afraid of having the ball for too long. He's never under pressure because he'll never hold the ball for long enough to be under pressure. If he has the ball for 3 seconds, he starts panicking no matter what's happening around him. So we talk about his defending, we can talk about his lead feet, his crisp body, but his packet of crisp body, that is. But just his panicking on the ball is insane.
Panicking under no pressure. Like, he had the ball 5 times in the first 15 minutes. Twice he kicked the ball out of play, trying to play it down the line.
Yep.
And once he just played the ball infield to a Burnley player who was closing down the space. The guy is a fucking waste of space. And the problem for Villa is that they clearly need to improve on their flanks. But I just, is he just going to go ahead with Target for the rest of the season?
I can't. Like, no way. That it's too obvious.
Villa haven't been linked with a left back since they signed him.
But surely, even like whatever, like if he thinks that he's good on the ball, which he's not, like he must see the way he runs and the way he defends, and do you know what, he must see that, like, and how unreliable he is and how Neil Taylor is the backup, like all the stuff that we've been talking about the whole time. Like, he must see that. Like, Grealish would see that at least. Like, you know, Grealish cracks up a Target because Target panics, or, you know, there's so many times as well that moves break down because it comes back to Target and he tries to play it first time, kicks it out of play, or just kicks it to an opposition player. And, like, you know, that's just not good enough for somebody like Grealish. Like, he can't be playing his whole life with Matt Target on the left wing with him.
What? Back to questions we can't answer. What's more depressing? That Michael Owen story or that last sentence of yours?
Yeah, so what do you think? When does Grealish stop playing it to El Ghazi?
See, the problem that Jack Grealish has got, and I've had this problem as well, whenever you're playing at a level above or below your own, you can't resist just keep doing the right thing. And the right thing in your own head is always, because when you're playing a game of football, there's loads of things happening, so the right pass is always the right pass for the person who's running into space. And you don't have time to think that El Ghazi is shit. You have to play that pass. And Jack Grealish, just, it's in his nature to do the right thing. So he's going to keep playing that pass until Aston Villa replace El Ghazi. Then they'll be playing the same pass to somebody who won't just trickle it into the keeper's arms or blaze it over the bar.
Did you hear the scream of Grealish at full time?
Yeah.
Just utter frustration, like utter depression. Probably annoyed as well, just that he had a waste his time playing against the Sean Dyche team. Yeah, obviously I missed a big chance towards the end. The referee was annoying him. The referee blew it up early, what he seemed to be complaining about at the end as well. Yeah, Jay was just really pissed off. Like, it was like, and in a way, like that sort of worries me as well. I don't want them to have too many nights like that. You know, where it's just like, fuck this, I'm out of here.
Yeah, but, like, you know, teams lose games that they should. Like, at least they're playing well. At least he's not having to, you know, track back like a dog. Like, Villa are a good team now, and you can see that. That's what's annoying him, that they're not winning games that they should be winning. He had a very similar reaction after the Brighton game and the West Ham game. The camera pans to Jack Grealish now because he's Jack Grealish, and people suddenly realise that he's class. And he's gonna look annoyed a lot during the season, but, you know, we'll just see. We'll see what happens in the summer.
Will Villa be the team to get relegated with the most points?
You need to fucking grow up, Connor.
Nah. I'm getting, like, everybody keeps winning. Like, I don't know. You need to develop some sort of algorithm to show me what's possible or not. But, like, I'm starting to get to a stage where I'm thinking every single team in the league is going to have at least 50 points. So, like, I don't know if that's possible, but everybody's winning and getting points.
Sheffield United lost again tonight, so there's one gone. No, Villa are not going to get relegated. Like I've always said, Villa are going to finish 14th.
You think 14th?
No, it won't be that low. It won't be that low. It'll be between 9th and 14th. But that's where Villa are going to finish, and then it's just a question of whether or not Jack can see the progression to stick around for another year, and whether or not we can convince Ross Barkley to sign, whether or not we replace the left back. It's the same questions that we had at the very start of the year. We knew these things were going to happen, and it's panning out exactly that way.
Yeah, but like, tell me this, like, and maybe I'm spoiled, and like, maybe everybody is because of the start and stuff like that. And the teams we've beaten, I said we've now played six teams in the top 10 last year. We beat five of them, and Burnley, the only team we couldn't beat from the top 10 last year. But do you think Villa are better than the ninth best team in the Premier League now? Like, you know, would finishing ninth be disappointing? Like, I know, like, that's a flaw now, especially I'm talking about getting relegated, and I am still a bit worried about that. Like, I look over my shoulder and think, like, I saw West Brom drawing with Man City, like, and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake. Do you know, because I'm like, we still need to just get more points in those teams. But at the same time, I'm also thinking we've got a good team. Like, maybe not players-wise, but the way they're playing, they look better than the ninth best team.
Villa have a great manager. They have Jack Grealish. They have a smattering of very good players. And then they've got nothing after that. But they still have to be looking up. They're not looking at fucking West Brom. Sam Allardyce is West Brom. Villa are looking at Wolves or looking at Everton. That's where Villa are looking at for this season. And then after that, it's like I said, can we keep Jack? Can we get in other players?
Yeah, or what do you do with 120 million that you get for Jack? And
fuck off.
What's probably 200 grand a week or whatever it is off your wage bill? Like, no, but like, yeah, fuck, I never want that to happen. But, and like, it's going to be very hard. It's going to be a waste of 100 million, basically. But you'd still be in a decent position. Like, you wouldn't be fucked over with it.
No, this is what you find, though. You know, because Villa can't buy another Jack Grealish, so getting 100 million is almost irrelevant. They're just going to sign a bunch of players who can't do the things that he can do. They'll sign five Bertrand Traorés. Villa aren't better then. They're still worse. You can't replace Jack Grealish. And most teams, Spurs have found this out a lot. Whenever they sold Gareth Bale, sure, that was just it gone then. You know, they just don't have Gareth Bale. It doesn't matter how many Eric Lamellas they sign. Gareth Bale's never coming back.
Well, it's a good point, though, and a good comparison, right? Because
actually a good point, because Gareth Bale did come back, but anyway.
Yeah, but a very shit Gareth Bale came back. He's just been injured the whole time since. But, like, what Spurs did with Gareth Bale was that they got to a new level. Do you know what I mean? So that's almost why this January transfer window is important. So while you've got Grealish and Barkley, can you convince someone else the same standard as Barkley to come in? Do you know, when they're like, well, that does two things. It pushes you up the table a little bit more. It attracts other players. It might convince Grealish and Barkley to stay. But then also, even if they go, you know, suddenly you fill the team with another Barkley and maybe two more Barkley. If you can get another wide attacking player, a better left back, you know, just another midfielder that are a good level. If you can buy three top players now in January, I don't know, it's January and Villa don't want to be screwed over and players aren't available as much, but yeah, like that's probably a good time to make a move, especially in a buyer's market. Villa have filthy rich owners and nobody else is looking to buy just yet because the world has gone to shit.
Villa have filthy rich owners. They've got ambition and they've got huge holes in their squad. So if Villa aren't the biggest spenders in this window, I'll be upset.
That's enough for me. Disappointing night. Like I say, played very well. Another clean sheet. Looking solid. And we've got West Brom at home. Or West Brom away on Sunday. Sam Allardyce is West Brom. It's going to be a slog. It's going to be disappointing if we don't win. But it's an opportunity for 3 points. So let's just put this one behind us and go at it. See you then. That wind is calling my name. And I